Today's shir is for Schus for Shalom ben Bracha. Today's shir is in Sechta Ksubis, Daf Tzadik Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amun Aleph from the top line Ketzim Echeres. And we had discussed in our previous shir that a almana is allowed to sell off assets from a husband's estate for husband's zaynus for support. So ask the Gemara Ketzim Echeres exactly what is the procedure followed to do this, to selling for her panos, for mezainus. Says the Gemara, Amar Daniel bar Rav Kaftin, Amar Rav Huna, Mecheres Achas, L'shneim Asuchaydish, she sells off property that is enough, that will provide enough income for mezainus for 12 months, V'lekeach, and the person who bought the property that has to pay for this property, Mefarnes Achas L'shleishim Yoyim, gives her every 30 days what she needs for support for the next 30 days. Why is the support limited to 30 days? Because there's a concern that she may get remarried in this time, and once she gets married, she's no longer entitled to mezainus. And it's going to be difficult for the yesoimim to collect all that money back from her. And therefore, to prevent any such situation, Chazal said that they should give her only 30 days at a time. Moreover, other Rishonim say there's a concern that she may pass away. And again, once she passes away, there is no obligation for support. And since there's no obligation for support, that's why we don't want to give her more than 30 days at a time. Yudaim and Mecheres, the Shisha Chadash, and Rehuda says that we only sell enough property that will supply mezainus for 6 months. And in the next rule, he agrees with the Tanakama, but support she should get only every 30 days. Why 12 months, 6 months? So as all the Rishonim point out, there's a balance that needs to be achieved here. On one hand, we want to be able to get the most for the property. And if we're going to sell too small of a piece of property, it's going to be difficult to get a good price for the property. On the other hand, Chazal didn't want to have to sell off too much of the property. And that's the debate that we have here. Is property sold, is the piece of property for 6 months going to accomplish that goal, or is the property for 12 months going to accomplish that goal? And in fact, the Rishonim, the Shita Mekabetzes, quotes a number of Rishonim. Only that much property that will supply her finish their ability to get a decent price for the property, then everybody would agree that we sell for 12 months. When Rabbi Yehuda sells that we sell for 12 months, 6 months, he means, because it's a situation where you could get a good price and a good customer for selling that little piece of property. But if you can't get that, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we sell for 12 months. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavasa Rav Huna, Mecheres L'Shnei Masa Chodesh, we sell the property for 12 months. We sell a piece of property that has in it enough to support her for 12 months, and the lokeach gives her parnasa every 30 days. But says the Gemara, there's another brisa that supports Rav Yehuda, because Tanya Kavasa Rav Yehuda, Mecheres L'Shisha Chadoshim, V'Lekeach Mefarnas Achs L'Shloishim Yoyim. So both of these opinions that we've quoted from the Meroim actually have basis in the brises. Amar Abaya, Amar Meimer. So the Gemara says, what is the halacha? Hilchasa Mecheres L'Shloisha Chadoshim. She sells a piece of property that will last for 6 months. V'lekeach mefanas achs l'shloishim yoyim. And the buyer gives her allowance every 30 days. Amar Le'Rav Ashi L'Meimer, the Rav Huna Mai. Why don't you agree with the opinion of Rav Huna? Amar Le'Rav, so he says, L'Shmili, K'lai Me'Lai Sfirilei. And here, Shmiya means that he didn't agree with Rav Huna said. So the question, of course, Mefarshim is, then the many Mefarshim ask, Rav Meimer was basing his opinion on what Rav Yehuda said. So why is the Gemara troubled? What about the why you don't you agree with Rav Huna? And because of this question, the Mefarshim suggests that whenever we have in Shas a machloikis of Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, the halacha is like Rav Huna. And that's why they were troubled. Why did he paskin like Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Huna? Continues the Gemara by name Rav Sheshes. Hamecheres l'mezenaseha. A woman sold off property for her mezonos needs. Masha tachs v'titrayf. The Gemara's question is, can she collect back from those buyers the property she sold them? In other words, all of the property of the husband who passed away is mortgaged to her ksuba. So first she sold off property for the mezonos payment that is owed to her. But now when she wants to collect the ksuba, and all of her husband's property were mortgaged, so the question is, can she go back to the person to whom she actually sold property to collect for her ksuba? Masha talks of the Titraif Ksuba, says the Gemara, Kabay Lebed Rav Yosef. The Gemara's question is a question, something that Rav Yosef taught us. Domer Rav Yosef, Amarta de Zabin, Amana sold properties of the Yisoyimim in order to collect Hamazonis, in order to collect the Ksuba. And now the Baal Chayv of her husband came and collected those properties. The Achray Sayasmi. This halacha is that the obligation to pay off the father's debts are on the assignment, and therefore the mortgage that's on this property continues to be on this property, and of course the Baal Chayv have a right to come to collect that property. Beidina Dezavin, a Bezdin sold property and bought, and the Baal Chayv came to collect that property. Again, says the Gemara, Achray Sayasmi, the Baal Chayv could collect the property. Mai, says the, and the Mai, Kivin Achray Sayasmi. So in both of these situations that the Gemara just identified, the obligation reverted back to the Yisoyimim. So here too, the Yisoyimim have an obligation to pay off their father's ksuba, and therefore, Tarfa, she has a right to collect back that ksuba. Adama Matza Amrla, she could, the Lekuch could say to the Almona, Ne dechrayis da'amalo kibeltalach. Yes, you don't have responsibility, your level of responsibility on your former husband and your deceased husband's obligations are obviously quite limited. The achrayis, as we just said, is on the assignment. However, achrayis to nafshich, you here sold the property yourself. Milay kabula kabelus, isn't it self understood that when you sold this property, you didn't sell this property, that you should be able to collect it back? Nobody buys a property that the person who sold them the property should be able to have recourse to collect back that piece of property. That's the question that he asked. Amalahu, and Rav Sheshes told the Bnei Yeshiva to Nisua. The answer to the question has been learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Mecheres v'Eleches, she could keep on selling off her husband's assets, Atei Ksubasa, until she have left over the amount that is owed to her for Ksuba. V'Samechla, and then she realizes, she'll collect the ksuba from the rest of the assets that the husband left over. Shmamina. From here we see, shire in, only if she left over property from where, with the assignment, from where she'll be able to collect her ksuba, can she collect from those properties her ksuba. V'loi shire, but if she didn't leave over properties by the assignment from which to collect the ksuba, She want, and her only recourse is to revert back to the property she sold, loy. That is not going to be legitimate. In other words, what the Gemara seemingly is teaching us, what Rav Sheshes is saying, that the Brice is teaching us, that property that she herself sold cannot be used to go back to collect other obligation, the Ksuba obligation. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Vidilma, who says that this proof is necessarily a compelling proof? Dilma, Eitzah Toiva Kamash Malan. The Gemara is teaching us that a good advice to this woman, because if she's going to sell this property and then go back and for Mazoinis and then afterwards collect it back for the Ksuba, people are going to say that her dealings are not honest dealings. Says the Gemara, if that's what the Bryce is coming to teach us, Im Kain, listening, Ksubas, Goyv Ksubas Menashar. Why did the Brisa should have said she could collect the ksuba? Why did the Brisa say samachla? She could only rely on what was left over. Shmami. The Brisa, the wording of the Brisa, says Rav Shesha, says the Gemara, seems to be that this is an absolute din, that she could never go back to that property. Shmami no shaira in, only on property that she had not sold can't she revert back to. Loy shaira, property she had not left over, loy she can't revert back to. Istapkulhu, zoven, if somebody sold his property, and everybody knows that the reason he sold his property was because he wanted to buy with his property a specific item. And after he sold the property, the people who were going to sell him something, and he needed that money available that he was going to realize for selling his property, loy etzruchalei, didn't need that, loy etzruchalei zuzui, they didn't need the money, then he didn't need the money. Hadrizvini, can he say that the deal is off, or loy hadrizvini? In other words, since it was very clear that the only reason he's selling this is that because he needs the money for a specific purpose, so therefore, in a case where that purpose no longer is relevant, can he back out of the deal or not? So Tosfos explains that in order for the Gemara's question to even be a valid question, it's only valid in a situation where the person who sold off his properties made it abundantly clear that the only reason he's selling is because he needs the cash for another deal. But if he didn't make it clear, so why, then nobody would ever have a havamina that he could back out of the deal. Rashi seems to learn that he didn't even have to say that. As long as it's clear and evident to everybody that he didn't, that he was only selling the property because he needed the cash for another deal, and that deal fell through, the halacha is, that's the question the Gemara is asking. But then, Taisa asks another question. Taisa asks, especially according to the opinion of Taisa, who says that the Gemara, the entire discussion in the Gemara is only relevant when he made it obviously clear that that is his intent, that he's selling in order to have the cash available. Why is just saying that that is his intent is enough? Whenever we make a Tanai, the halacha is that you have to make a Tanai kofel for Tanai to be considered a valid Tanai. And he certainly didn't make a Tanai kofel in our Gemara. So the Rishayim say a very important teretz. Taisa says a very important teretz. He says that when we have umdad and muchach, where it's obvious what his intentions are, especially as Taisa is explaining, where he's making his intentions clear, there is no need for a Tanai kofel. The only time a Tanai kofel is required is when it's not clear, it's not obvious, and you want to attach a stipulation. In order for the stipulation to have halachic validity, it has to be a Tanai kofel. But in a case where it's obvious, there's no need, which is called umdana the muchach, then there's no need for Tanai. That's the way some Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim explain that if this was indeed working with Hilchas Tanoim, then the halacha is that then a Tanai kafel would be required. Because that's a fundamental requirement for any Tanai to be valid. It has to be a Tanai kafel. But when we're here, it's not working with Hilchas Tanoim. And where it's not working with Hilchas Tanoim, there's no need for Tanai kafel. So again, the Gemara wants to know where it was obvious that a property was sold for a specific reason, and that reason falls apart. What is the deal? Could he go back on the deal? Says the Gemara, Toshma, who gavered the Zovan Arab, Rapapa. There was an individual that sold property to Rapapa. The Itzrichel Mizben Turi. He needed that money to buy axe. The Saifle Itzrichel. At the end, the people who were going to send him the axe backed out of the deal, and he didn't need the, and therefore there was, he didn't want to have to sell the property. But Rapapa gave him back his property. So it's clear that Rapapa's opinion is that if the reason for the deal falls apart, then the deal is not kept. Says the Gemara, it's not a raya. Rapapa, this that Rapapa did is lefnei mishur in David. It's not necessarily that the halacha requires him to do it. He did it. He went above and beyond the letter of the law. The halacha that somebody should go lefnei mishur sadin is actually based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vizhartem oisam v'datlam asaderach yelchaba v'samasa shiyasun." And the Medrash, the Mechilta teaches us, "Rabbi Elazar Amidoi Oimer v'datlhem hoydlhem beis chayeim asaderach yelchaba izabika choylim bra zekfuris meisin v'samasa zeshur sadin ashiyasu lefnim mishur sadin." The person has to go lefnim mishur sadin. Sometimes the Pesach can say Bezdin could impose the one should go lefnei mishur sadin. But at this point of the Gemara, that's not necessarily the case here. It's not necessarily here the case where Bezdin imposed lefnei mishur sadin. Rapapa went lefnei mishur sadin. Says my Tashma, the Hubitzurta. There was a situation where there was a hunger, Dav Minado, Zvinu Kulam Lafdanayu, and people were desperate for money, and they were selling off their homes. The Saif Asachitu. At the end, wheat arrived from overseas, and therefore the price of wheat dropped, and there was no need to sell their houses. Vamar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman told all the people who sold their houses, Dina hu dahad rep dan lamarayu. The houses could go back to their original owners. So we see that if the reason for the sale falls away, the sale falls away. Says the Mara, that case is not a real raya. Hasanami zvina b'taras hava. The whole sale was an error because the gloy milsop, the arba b'kul avakayma, was actually discovered that the boat carrying the wheat was already on the way when these people sold their homes, and therefore is considered a mekach tos. But if in a case where the sale was before that knowledge, it wouldn't necessarily be a reason to nullify the sale. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi, says the Gemara, Hainad Amalei Rami Bachamel, Rami Bashmul Rav Nachman, Imkei Nimtzus Machshin Lasalavai. People are not going to want to buy ever when you sell a house if you always could get out of the deal. Amalei, Otakayam B'tzur Teshchicha, is there a hunger every day that people are going to use that as a reason not to get into business deals? Amalei in, B'tzorta b'nador mishkech shchichi. And therefore, we have to be careful if we're going to nullify deals, people are going to never do deals. However, says the Gemara, the halacha actually is, hilchas zoven, if somebody sells property, v'otztuch lezuzah, and they don't really need the money, the halacha is, and the reason falls away, hada zavina, the din is that the deal falls away, and that the person has a right to say, I only sold the property for that reason, and the halacha, and if that reason falls away, the deal falls away. There's a famous Gemara in Masechta Kedushin. The Gemara in Masechta Kedushin is on Daf Mem Tesama Beis, where somebody sold all his property. And when he sold all his property, he said that he was doing so because he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, if in the end he had to cancel his plans to move that to Yisrael. He can nullify the sale and get back the property. However, the Torah, citing Rashi, distinguishes between real estate and metatlin. He says people are typically reluctant to sell their real estate unless they have a good reason. And therefore, if one sells his real estate and he mentions that he's doing so because he has a specific reason why he's doing so, it's considered, like Tosfos said, like we quoted Tosfos earlier, that it's like he made a stipulation. And therefore, if the deal that he needed to sell the money for falls away, then he doesn't have to sell it. However, the Torah, quoting Rashi, says, metatlin doesn't have the same halacha. And if somebody sells off metatlin, even if he makes it clear that his reason is that even if he's saying for a reason, since it's common, says the Torah, for people to sell metatlin, therefore he can't use this reason to nullify a sale. The Gos Ashri has a different reason that there's a difference between Mekarka and Metatlin. He says that a person is much more muchzik in his real estate. And because he's much more muchzik in his real estate, therefore we say it remains his when we realize that the reason he wanted to sell it is no longer here. But a person's hold on his Metatlin, his chazok in his Metatlin is a much weaker hold. And therefore, the halach is that he can't back off. This is a very interesting discussion. When could somebody back out of a sale? When could somebody say, well, I only said something because of the following reason? I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has two interesting shailas around this subject. One shaila that the Chashukei Chemed discusses is where there was a person who was unfortunately ill in the hospital, and the hospital administration told him that the best doctor to take care of you right now is overseas. So this person was obviously a person of means, and he said that I'm willing to give the hospital a very significant donation and to bring home this doctor from overseas earlier. And lo and behold, the doctor is there. But when he speaks to the doctor actually tells him he came home because he had a change of plans. And he was supposed to come home, and he came home early anyway. He didn't come home specifically because of him. And now the question is, does he have to honor his tzedakah obligation or not? And there are two reasons why, even though he only gave this obligation for this specific reason, and not a reason isn't there, there are two reasons why this is not to be compared to the case of our Gemara. One reason is because we find in all Nidrei Tzedakah that it's very hard to back out of a Nidrei Tzedakah. And here we're referring to a Nidrei Tzedakah, and therefore, it's much most difficult for him to back out of the deal, the obligation, even though his reasoning, even though the reason for giving the tzedakah is no longer there. Number two, the Chashukei Chemed suggests that we can't compare this case to our Gemara, because when it comes to tzedakah, as soon as a person obligates himself to give tzedakah, the halacha views it as if whatever the tzedakah is supposed to accomplish, the tzedakah has accomplished. So even though he hasn't actually yet given the tzedakah, but the tzedakah, the pledge, it accomplishes. And once he pledged that, he has to give the tzedakah, even if the reason is not there anymore, or is sort of false pretenses. Then he discusses another shaila. He discusses where there were two parents of a boy and a girl, who the children were going to get married, and the two parents agreed together they're going to buy an apartment for their children. And one of the parents was a person who didn't have a lot of money, but he wanted to do what he had promised. So he went and he sold his apartment. He went and he sold his apartment in order to have money available to buy the apartment for his child. But then he discovered that the other side were also people who didn't have means, but they didn't even maybe have the ability to pay, even sell an apartment or whatever the story was. They weren't able to give anything. And therefore, since they weren't able to give anything, there's obviously no, they don't have now the ability to buy this apartment that they had spoken about. And the question is, can the person who sold his apartment, based on the understanding that he needs the money in order to buy his children an apartment, but now he's not buying it anyway, go back to the people he sold the apartment and say, well, it was, I sold it to you under these reasonings, and these reasonings don't apply. So the Paiskim say, the Shukei Chemet seems to say that this is a case of Iyu the Afsar of Nafshei. Because before he sold his apartment, he should have checked what is the financial status of the other side. Do they really intend to fulfill their commitment to be able to buy the apartment for the children? And if he would have done that investigation, he would have right away seen that they're not going to be spending money, they're not able to, they're not willing to spend the money. Whenever there's a situation to buy, to do your own investigation, and you didn't do it, then we don't have the din of our Gemara. Rather, the operating principle then is Ihu the Afsar Nafshe. He himself caused his own loss. And actually, the Shach in Choshe Mishpat Simen Samach Vav Sifkaton Kuf Yud Gimel discusses a situation where somebody bought an account receivable. Somebody bought an account receivable, and then he discovers that the person who owes this money is a person who's very poor and doesn't have the ability to pay off his debts. Could he say, well, if I would have known that the person who owes this money doesn't have the ability to pay off his debts, I would have never bought this account receivable? And the Shach says, of course not, because he should have investigated who's behind this account's receivable before obligating himself, and not just have bought it and then be in this predicament. In fact, the Cheshukei Chemet quotes a Shaal Satshuvas Marsham, Chelek Beis Simen Lamed Daled, where somebody had bought a lottery ticket, and he sold the lottery ticket, and the person who bought it, actually that was a winning lottery ticket. The question was, and now he says, well, if I would have known it's a winning lottery ticket, I would have never sold it at this discount. And he says that certainly if it's a case where he could have checked if this was a winning lottery ticket before he sold it, so he doesn't have that claim because he should have checked. But even in a case where he couldn't have checked, so then for sure, when you sell something like that, you're taking a gamble. And you can't say, well, if I would have known. That's what investments are all about. And therefore, the halacha is he can't make a claim that the deal should be reversed. Rather, we employ the concept of Iyu Dafsar of Nafshe. This is a deal that he should have known. The Sha'al Zetshuvas Kinyan Torah Ba'alocha Chelek Aleph Simen Yudalid speaks about an interesting situation where somebody sold a piece of property to someone else, and afterwards it was discovered that at the time he sold it, this piece of property actually was going to go up very much in value because they were going to build a whole city around in that area, or for whatever reason. And the question is, could he say, well, I wouldn't have sold it under those circumstances? Clearly, one of the considerations that the place can take into consideration in the Shaila is if the person who bought it knew that this piece of property is really worth much more because of what's going to happen, and he didn't disclose it to the seller, that would be a reason perhaps to nullify the sale. Says the Mishnah, Amana Beimen Arusin Beinim Nesuin, and Amana, whether she's an Amana from the Arusin or an Amana from the Nesuin, Mecheres Shaloi Bebezdin. She could sell property without requiring a full-fledged professional Beis Din, but she has to sell the property in front of three people that at least are somewhat familiar with real estate dealings. Shimon Omer, Mina Nesuin, if she's selling property because they had Nesuin, and she's selling the property because she needs Mezoinus, as we spoke earlier in our shiur, then the Aloch is Mecheres Shloi Beis Din. She doesn't have to have a proper professional Beis Din. But if she's selling property from, she only had Erisin, then the Aloch is Leitimka Ella Beis Din. She's only allowed to sell the property in Beis Din, Neisha Ela Mezoinus, because such a woman is not collecting for Mezoinus. She's only collecting for Ksuba. The Kol She'ela Mezoinus. If she's not collecting for Mezoinus, she's only collecting for able to collect her Ksuba. Their Aloch is that the Mecheres, Leitimka Ela Beis Din, then she only could sell in front of proper Beis Din. Says the Gemara. We understand, as we just explained, why a woman who's selling from the Nesuin is allowed to sell without a Beis Din, without a professional Beis Din, without Mumchim, B'shem Mezoinus. She needs to be supported, and she doesn't want to have to wait to get a professional Beis Din. El Menerison, why did the Mishnah begin that Almona Beimen Erison, Beimen Nesuin, Mecher Shlabi Beis Din, Mai Tama, Amma Ula, B'shem Chino. Chazal were interested that women should want to get married. And the way they made that women should get married is if a woman knows that if her husband is going to divorce her or die, she's not going to have such a difficult time collecting what's owed to her, that will give her more of an incentive to get married. Another pshat that Tosfos gives is that Chazal wanted, this is Tosfos pshat, that Chazal wanted that this woman who now is no longer married should have money from what she collects from her first husband, and therefore it will be easier for her to get remarried. And that's why Chazal made it easy for her to collect. Rabbi Yechon says a different reason. No husband wants that a wife should have to go to Beis Din and have to go through the ordeal of collecting her ksuba. My benayu, ask the Gemara, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Ika benayu grusha. The nafkamina is if the first marriage ended in divorce. Lamend amma mishim chino, the rand amma, whichever pshat that we offered in chino, applies by every woman, even by a grusha. Grusha, nami b'ayachain. However, that the concern is the husband doesn't want his wife to have to go through the Beis Din process. That, by Grusha, obviously they didn't get divorced under, people don't get divorced under the best circumstances, that the Aloch is, then it doesn't make a difference. The Rishonim point out that Gemara could have given another nafkamina where the woman already died, and it's the Yarshim who are collecting. If the concern is Chino, so then that's not a consideration. If the concern is because of Grusha, then that is like the Spaza Ishtu Beis Din, he may doesn't want his children to have Shittu Spaza Beis Din. Which opens up an interesting question. If a woman is Rachman Tzlon and a Grusha, and let's say she was married to a Rav, and while she was married to the Rav, she was the Rebbetzin, and now they got divorced, so can she still be called Rebbetzin? And actually, the Rav Chaim Palagi in his Sefer Ginzei Chaim discusses this, and he says it really depends on the what circumstances they got divorced. If they got divorced because of difficult circumstances, so of course the relationship that existed between that husband and wife is completely severed. And she can't use that title that she had when she was married to her husband. But let's say he says they got divorced because they didn't have children. They were married for 10 years, for many years without children, and that's why they got divorced. But their relationship was a decent relationship. It's only because of that they got divorced, then the halacha, she could continue using that name. And he brings a very nice raya. The Pasuk says that when Yisroi came to the Midbar, the Pasuk says, V'yikach Yisroi chayshin Moshe, es tzipayre eishes Moshe, achashlucheha. Achashlucheha means after they had separated. We know Moshe Rabbeinu separated himself from Tzipayra. But the Pasuk still calls her an incredible title, eishes Moshe. So you see that the title remains even after they're no longer together. Says the Martanan that the Gemara brings a raya that the reason is because we're going to learn a Mishnah. The Mishnah says a grisha loytimka el bebezdin. A divorced wife could only sell by a bezdin mumcha. So says the Gemara, Bishlam el mandam el fisha ein adam roitz ishtu baza ishtu bebezdin. According to the opinion that says we're concerned about ein adam roitz ishtu baza ishtu bebezdin, Grusha, as we just said, Laich Beslay, he doesn't care if his wife is offended. Elamandam Shemchina, that we want that the wives should want to get married or be able to get married. Grusha Nami Baichain answers the Gemara Hamani, that Tana is of Shimonhi, that doesn't hold of the concept of Chin, because he holds that a monomena erison is only for Ksuba. She's not collecting from a Zionist, and that she can't. And he holds that only when you're selling from a Zionist can you sell outside of a Bezda Mumcha. Otherwise, you need a Bezda Mumcha. Says the Mar'ir of Shimon, if that's what the next Mishnah is coming to teach us, the opinion of Shimon, ask the Gemara Tanai Reisha. We just learned in our Mishnah, Mina Erison Laitimkar. That she can't sell Mina Erison because she's only selling for a Ksuba. Why would we need to repeat this in the next Mishnah? Because the din of a Grusha ought to be the same as Almana Mina Erison, answers the Gemara. Ma'atema, Almana Mina Erison, who the Lai Nofish Chaim Dida. There are people will not stop getting married because of an Arusa that can't collect her payment. Ava Grusha, the Nofish Chaim Dida. They already had a relationship. And if a grusha is not going to be able to collect the ksuba, that will prevent women from getting married. And therefore, everybody, we would say by a grusha, she doesn't need a bezdin. That's why the halacha had to teach us that even by a grusha, a bezdin is required. But ask the Gemara, Hanami Tanina, that halacha we've also learned. Kol she'en le'mezoinus. We learned that it says, Kol she'en le'mezoinus, le'timke el be'bezdin. And Lesuya Mai, what's it coming to teach us? Lav Lesuya Grusha. So we already learned the halacha about a Grusha. Lav Lesuya. Lesuya Megreshes for any Megreshes. It's talking about a case, which we have often in Shas, where a husband threw a get at his wife, and we don't know if it came within her Dalet Amos or remained in his Dalet Amos. So this woman is a Suffolk Megreshes. So, and the Tan is not coming to teach us that she can't sell for a ksuba. The halacha is that the Tana is teaching us that even though she's not definitively divorced, the halacha is she's not entitled to mezonos anymore. And that the husband is to support her, teaches us the Tana in the Mishnah that halacha, that the husband, when there's a suffolk megreshes, the husband has to continue supporting her, was only said when the husband is still alive. So if the husband is still alive, and he is going to have to settle the situation, is she megreshes? Is she not megreshes? So that's when the halacha tells us that he has to continue supporting her. But here the husband is not alive anymore, and therefore she doesn't get support. And since she doesn't, and that's why she has whatever she's selling for has to be sold only in front of a Bezda Mumcha. Tashma, says the Gemara, the Brisa says, Kishem Shemecheres Shlabi Bezdin, just like an amana could sell Shlabi Bezdin, Kach Yorshea Yorshik Subasa, Har Yorshim Marchi Shlabi Bezdin. So says the Gemara, Vishal Laman Damal Fisha, Ain Adam Rachish Tabazi, Ishtabi Bezdin, he doesn't want his wife to have to go through an ordeal of going to Bezdin. He doesn't want his Yarshim to have to go through that ordeal. Says the Gemara, Sometimes if a woman doesn't have any sons or any brothers, so her sisters or her daughters will be her yarshim. And therefore, the issue of chayin is relevant. Says the Mishnah, machra ksubasai or miktasa. If a mana sold off from the simim's assets, ksuba, or for partial payment of a ksuba, mishkana ksubasa or miktasa, or she put up her ksuba or part of her ksuba as collateral, nasna ksubasa l'achar or miktasa, or she gave part, all or part of her ksuba to someone else, like timker, she has no right to sell off the rest of the assets. She has no right to sell off the rest of the assets, el bebezdin, only in front of the bezdin. There are two ways of learning this Gemara, this Mishnah. One way of learning it is that this happened after the husband died. Another way of learning this is that it happened while the husband's still alive. But the Chachamim say a woman could sell the assets of the Yisoyimim, afilu arbav chamish apayimim, that she could sell it a number of times until she collected the entire money due to her. Amecheres lemezaynus shleve bezdin, and she could sell for mezaynus both where she needs the ksuba, but certainly when she needs mezaynus, he says shleve bezdin for kasevus lemezaynus mecharti. But when she sells it, she should be clear in saying that she's selling it for the mezaynus. Grush le timkar. But as we discussed a few moments ago, a grusha never has a right to sell el bebezdin. Says the Gemara Masnei Samani, the Tanakam of a Mishnah who says that if she sold partial, she has to sell in bezdin. Mani of Shimni, the Tanya mach ksubasa, mishkan ksubasa, also ksubasa paitiki. She put up a ksuba as a collateral lacher for somebody else. Eila mezaynus, she's not entitled to mezaynus. Even if she just sold part of it, if the mechtzuzanai says she loses her mezaynus, lememra. So says the Gemara. Does that mean that Shimon Sovid Lemery mixes kesef kakol kesef? That the tanai of the ksuba is that all as long as your simim are owe her some money, it's considered like they owe her the entire ksuba. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan say, mixes kesef kakal kesef, that it's considered that as long as the assignment owe her some money, it's like they owe her the entire money. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon, as soon as she collected partial payment, her rights weaken. And according to Rabbanan, her rights don't get weakened. But as the Gemara, we've learned just the opposite. The Tanya, the Pasuk speaks regarding a kohen gadol. The kohen gadol is only allowed to marry a psula. The Torah Kedoshah says, "V'uishib a psula yikach." So we learn from here, "Prat lebegelus should call a psula." As we learned earlier in Amasechta, once a woman is a begeris, she's over 12 and a half years old, she's not considered a full-fledged psula. Divremeya. Releza, Rav Shimon say, "Be'chshim a begeris, a kohen gadol can marry a begeris." So we see that Rav Shimon holds that mixus is like kol. And even if she has just some of the psulim, she's considered a full-fledged psula. And therefore, if some of the money is owed to her, she should be entitled to have the din as if she's all the money is owed to her. And Ramea holds just the opposite. Answers the Gemara, you can't connect the two machlaikasin. Hasan b'kra pligi. There, the machlaikas of Shimon and Ramea regarding the kohen gadol is over how to explain the pasuk. Ramea is of a psula. The pasuk says, "V'uishib psula yikach." I would say, a filu mixes psulim, even if she's just a partial psula, a begeris, bisulah. But the Torah says that bisulah doesn't say bisula. The teachers add the kikah kula psulim, and if she's a begeris, she's not supposed to marry kohen gadol. But he learns from the bisulah, but dak inch like a darkalah. If she had relations, she's not a psula. But only if those relations were done in the normal fashion. It was a biyish like a darka, she's still considered a basula, as long as she's not a begeris. Rav Lazar of Shimon, sorry, basula shleima mashma. If the Torah would have written the word basula, we would say means she has to be a full-fledged basula. Basula, The fact that the Torah wrote the word b'suleha, I learned from that filum mixes b'sulim. B'suleha, the Torah added the word b'suleha, she'ko b'suleha kayim, bein b'kadarka, bein shloi kadarka. If she had any form of relations, then she's not considered. If she had any form of relations, she's not considered a psula anymore. So it turns out that we have machlokes chacham Rav Shimon. According to chachamim, mixes kesef kala kesef, and therefore, if she even collected part of a ksuba, it doesn't make a difference. It's still as if she's owed the entire ksuba, and Rav Shimon holds just the opposite. So says the Gemara, hayit said tasa kasa the kasa the ksubasa. She seized a silver cup as payment for a ksuba. But that wasn't enough to pay, to satisfy the entire ksuba payment. And ketava mezoini. And she says, since I didn't collect my entire ksuba payment, I'm still entitled to mezoinis. She says, the Gemara Asla Kamei the Rava, this question was brought to Rava. Amaluhu liyasmi, they told the Yisayimim, zil havala mezoinis. Because he said, lest the chasla der Rav Shimon, there's nobody that holds like Rav Shimon, and as soon as some of the money, as long as some money is still is owned to her, the halacha is that as long as some money is still owed to her, the halacha is that she's entitled to all the rights that a wife who's owed a ksuba is still entitled to.